Welcome to episode 60 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. So this week, it's going to be a relatively short episode, I'm afraid. I've got a bit of a cold and I've been swamped with a lot of other things, but I'm going to answer a number of questions from listeners and start a new corner related to this. Not only can you now leave recorded messages and greetings that I will include in the show intro, but also thanks to an idea by listener Mojo Yugen, whose real name is Brian Schultz, I'm also asking you to send me a recording of any questions that you might have. If I can do so based on my own experience, I'll do so in a future episode, and of course that will be preceded by me playing the recording of the question. To record your message or question, go to martinbaileyphotography.com and look for the applet on the top page under the Record Audio Greetings section. If you click on the Leave a Message button, you'll go to a special website at Mobitalk to record and leave your message. You can currently only record 2 minutes at a time, but if your question is longer, record it in multiple messages, adding something like part one, part two to the title, and I'll stitch them together for the podcast. If you'd prefer, you could just record your question at your own on your own machine and send it to me at your leisure. Please do send it in MP3 format by email to info@martinbaileyphotography.com. I am still open to questions by mail too. If you don't have a mic, and you'd rather just contact me by, in text form, then the contact form on my website is still valid, and you can private mail me a private message from the forum at martinbaileyphotography.com as well. So anyway, thanks for the idea, Brian, and let's get on with today's main topic. So over the last year or so, since I've started this podcast, I've received lots of questions, a few a week on a slow week and more on others. And I often just I reply to these emails individually. And sometimes these conversations make it into the forum. But generally, it's pretty much a one-to-one thing. And I think that probably a lot of the time the answers that that I give to these questions would be valuable to others as well. If nothing else, I'm sure that there are a few people out there that have thought the same things that the people that are asking the questions have thought. So hopefully these Q&A sessions will be of some use to most of you. So today I'm going to talk about a number of things that I've been asked recently. And then in future, maybe once a month or so, I'll do a follow-up podcast to discuss topics that are either asked of me by email or hopefully via the audio recordings or mailed to me in an audio file, as I just requested. So the first question for today is from Robert in Germany. Robert had a question with regards to the photo of the waterfall with the rainbow, and that was the one that I spoke about in episode 11 called Good Planning, Good Luck. Robert asks, why did you use a PL filter? As you explained in the podcast, you took the risk of eliminating the rainbow. Would not a grey filter also be possible to filter away some light? So let's take a look at the image in question, number 731. As I explain my thought processes, I think it would be good if we take a look at the image as well. So, firstly, what Robert says is exactly correct. I did say in the podcast that a PL filter can be used to pretty much eliminate a rainbow, and it can. Well, a few days ago when I replied to Robert by mail, I said that I'd left my neutral density filter in the car. I couldn't really remember why I didn't use it at the time. But as I went back and checked the notes for episode 11. I found that I did have the ND filter with me, but attaching a Kokin filter holder and then getting the filter pouch out of my bag and, you know, sort of getting the filter out, blowing it off a little, and then sort of fitting it to the front of the lens takes a little bit of time. Not a lot, but a little bit of time. And the light was only going to be there for a moment or two, so I realized that I was not going to have very much time at all. But I did need a slower shutter speed to make the water look like it's flowing, and I needed it quickly. First, I lowered my ISO to 50, and then I made the aperture smaller to f22, and I still couldn't get a shutter speed slow enough to make the water flow as much as I wanted. And we can see in the resulting photo that it looks as though it's flowing slightly. So without doing anything, I was faced with a shutter speed of 1/50th of a second, which would have introduced some motion blur, but not as much as I wanted. And anyway, you know, the real only opportunity that I had, the only option that I had to get a few stops less light in, for the exposure, was the PL filter in my pocket, which I could attach much more quickly. A PL filter cuts out around two stops of light, so the shutter speed dropped from 1/50th of a second to 1/10th of a second, which was enough to give that flowing effect in the water without going over the top. There is a big risk, as I mentioned, if I was to have just dropped the PL on, you know, if you remember that when you look through the finder of your camera as you rotate a PL filter, say when you're looking at a blue sky, you'll notice that at some points the sky looks very pale. This is when the PL filter is not really working at all. And then at other points it becomes very blue, a deep blue. And so the amount of the effect that a PL has depends very much on the conditions, but I'm sure that you've all seen this effect to some extent. A PL works by cutting out the scattered light that bounces off shiny surfaces and water particles in the air. For this to work, though, we have to turn the front element of the filter until it aligns just right with the light coming straight at the camera. So that then cuts out the scattered light. So, of course, as a rainbow is basically just light reflecting off water, there is the risk of erasing the rainbow pretty much completely. If we continue to turn the filter to the other extreme, checking as we turn, you can see that it stops having any effect at all. And you know, really, it starts to work again as we continue to turn it. So while shooting the rainbow and the falls, I could check the effect very easily. As I turned the filter, at some points the rainbow completely disappeared, but as I continued to rotate, it came back in full colour. I have to admit that I was worried. I did, though, when I got back, I checked some of the shots that had the filter, and then a few that I took moments before without the PL filter, and the end results showed me that there really was no difference in colour whatsoever. You know, the only thing that had changed is I'd gained the slow shutter speed. So I'm thinking that I had the filter positioned just right to make it not do anything other than give me that slower shutter speed. All in all, it was a bit of a gamble, but in hindsight, I don't think that this was a bad move. So if you find yourself in a bit of a pinch, either you don't have a neutral density filter with you or you just don't have one, or like I was at this time, you don't have time to fit the filter kit to your lens, you can possibly make do with a PL if you are careful to ensure that it's not having the wrong effect. Also note too that I bought a circular ND8, which is a 3-stop neutral density filter, after this experience. So now I have something that I can drop quickly onto the lens without having to play around with the Kokin system. I do still think that the Kokin system is excellent, and I'm going to continue to use it from time to time, but really only when I do have time. You know, it's only a very small amount of time that you need to put it on there, but when the light is fleeting and you've got to do something quickly, I think that maybe, at least for an overall, not a gradual, but a standard neutral density filter, maybe the circular one is just easier to use. So anyway, I hope that makes a little more sense, Robert. So thanks very much for your very astute question. The next question that I had was from a listener whose name I won't mention, as I wasn't able to get permission to do so in time. This is another reason why a recorded message would be great. I'm hoping that you can just announce who you are, give yourself a quick self-introduction at the same time, so that we know who you are and who's asking the question. So anyway, the question that I received from this anonymous listener was about the last episode of the podcast, number 59, when I spoke about my early morning shoot at the Shibutoge Mountain Pass. The listener asked why I used a negative compensation for my shots when they didn't seem to have a great deal of contrast. Well, this is another great question. The reason for the compensation in shots like image number 1141, which is the shot that I made at minus 2/3 of a stop, is really because I didn't want the camera to falsely brighten up the image. If I had simply trusted the camera's meter, it would have tried to make the scene an 18% neutral grey style exposure, which in this case would have been too bright. The sun was still behind the very thick cloud on the horizon and not really lighting the scene at all. With the naked eye, I could hardly see any detail in this scene, and nowhere near as much detail as the camera captured. And you'll probably be able to appreciate this when I tell you that it was shot at 1.3 seconds shutter speed. So it really was, what I was doing was just making up for the camera's tendency to miscalculate the exposure for non-average scenes. This is very much the same with a very bright scene, such as a sunlit field of snow. The shot would be metered at anything up to 2, maybe even more on a bright day, but up to around 2 stops below what it should be, as the camera is trying to turn the snow into an 18% grey. Now, we all know that a field of snow in daylight is white, not grey. So we need to increase the exposure by that same 2 stops to capture it correctly. So it's not always about contrast. In fact, I'd say it's less often about contrast. For high contrast shots, I often switch to manual mode, which I've spoken about a number of times, to ensure that I get it right. But that's another story. Like I say, I've spoken about this a number of times in the past, so I won't go into that today. Finally, I received another question last week from a listener called Chris Bjornstadt from Scranton, Pennsylvania, USA, with regards to a recent experience when shooting a sunset. At first, Chris was shooting pretty much as the camera dictated. And the shots, I've looked at the shots. By the way, I did mail Chris to ask if I could use his name, but I didn't ask if it was okay to add a link to the shots. So, Chris, if you're listening, if you want to drop a link to the shots that I'm talking about into the forum, maybe into the podcast forum, then the others could take a look and see what we're talking about. But the first few shots were... they were all very nice shots, but the first few were a little bit washed out and the colours were not really that spectacular. Partly due to the fact that the sun was not that close to the horizon yet, or not as close as in the later shots, but also what Chris decided to do was to stop down the exposure manually. With this, Chris got some great shots of a very deep red, fiery sunset. The thing that Chris wasn't sure about was why the colours became so rich and saturated as he stopped down or reduced the exposure. I explained in a mail that the less you expose, the shorter the exposure, the more saturated or richer the colours will get for a certain amount of time, that is, to a certain extent. Let's think first about what happens if you overexpose an image. The colors get less and less saturated until eventually everything just turns white, right? On the other hand, as you lower the exposure, the image gets darker and darker until everything goes black. But if you underexpose or use just a little negative compensation, then the colors move back towards black, you know, from the standard exposure, they move towards black. But if you don't go too much, then the colors just get darker and hence richer. One thing that you can try to prove this yourself is to open a well-exposed image in Photoshop, say, and hopefully you can find one with lots of colors in it so that you can really see the effect. But then open the brightness slider and slide it to the far right. And as you do that, you'll see that the image gets paler and paler and washed out. And the colors just get weaker and weaker. And then conversely, move the slider to the far left and you'll see that the colors get much darker and, at least for a while, much richer and more saturated. This is really what Chris was doing by reducing the exposure of the sunset, making the scene much more saturated, which is exactly what you want in this situation. The other thing that you could do if you want to play a little is to go to my website at martinbaileyphotography.com and select the color wheel from the quick links pull down in the top menu. Place your mouse over the color wheel somewhere in the middle between the dark center and the white outside of the wheel. And if you move your pointer directly towards the outside, then you'll see that the color gets paler and paler. There's a number of bars that change color as you move the mouse around. But if you'll see that the colors get paler and paler as you move out, and this is very much what's going to be the same as increasing your exposure. And if once you go the other way, you'll see that the colors get richer and richer as you start to go towards the dark center. And this is just basically making them more saturated. This will be the same, again, as this time as reducing the exposure until totally underexposing the image and making it go completely black. So you can also click on the color wheel at any point to record the colors in the list along the left side of the screen for easier comparison as you move your mouse around. So I hope that that has been of some help. Remember that from now on I'll be trying to answer any questions that you might have. You can mail me or contact me from the website, and also email directly to info@martinbaileyphotography.com. And also use the recorder for either just for greetings, and I'll drop them into the intro. Or, like I say, for questions, and I'll use those and then follow on with an answer. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to do this once a month or so moving forward. So for now, though, thanks very much for these great questions, guys. So once again, I'm very late with this podcast this week. I'm sorry about that. I'm just really very busy with other commitments right now, but also we've had more site problems this week that have eaten into my preparation time. I've also, like I said, I've caught a bit of a cold, and you can probably tell from my voice, but I guess I've just been burning the candle at both ends, maybe a little bit too much recently. But something else that I found out this week with regard to the site is that the Japanese text that I have in both the forum and the titles and comments that I add to the photos that I upload in my gallery have all become corrupted in the server move in September. It almost, you wouldn't know. Everything looks fine from the gallery and the forum. And the things are, you know, the text is being saved properly, but it's getting broken in the process. And it's only some little magic that the browsers are doing that's keeping it held together. It was basically something to do with the version of the database in which the text is stored. And the way it handles these Japanese characters So it's I'm not going to bore you with the gory details, but basically I figured out how to set up the database to behave correctly, and I've figured out a way to restore the old information, but it's going to take a little bit of time, and I'm going to have to take the forum down and the gallery down for maybe 15 to 30 minutes or so each while I make these changes. So I'm thinking to do this over this weekend. So if you come along to the site and find either the gallery or the forum, maybe even both of them down for a little while, then please come back in 30 minutes or so and everything should be up and running again. I'm really sorry for all of the continued trouble and I'm really hoping that it's going to be over soon. So finally, if you haven't voted for the for your favourite entry in the Reflections assignment, please go to mbpgalleries.com. and check out the assignment album and make your vote. We have until the end of this coming Sunday, which is November the 5th. So if you listen after that, then it's too late. But if you do listen in time and you haven't made your vote in time, then please go over there and take a look at the entries that are in there. And it's a tough decision because the level is really high. You've come up with some great images again this last 6 weeks or so. So, anyway, it'll be great if you have the time to go over and choose your favourite. And if you are one of the people that have already voted, thank you very much for taking the time to do that. Also, next week, I'll hopefully Monday or Tuesday, once the voting's finished, I'll create next week's podcast and announce the winner in that and the two runners-up, and we'll also kick off the next assignment. So thanks for a suggestion. There's a hint in the assignments forum as to what the next assignment is going to be. But thanks very much for the suggestion, and don't start shooting until we've kicked it off, because you have to have your entry. If it has EXIF details, that is, it has to show that it was taken after the assignment started. So don't jump the gun, but if you're feeling raring to go, hopefully you can start to think and visualize what you're going to shoot for the next assignment if you pick up on the hint. But it's only going to be a few days before I announce the theme officially, and we can go off and get started. So with that, have a great week or great weekend, and sorry for the horrible voice and everything, but enjoy your weekend, week, whatever, and whatever you do, have a great time doing it. Bye bye.
PhotoCastNetwork.com, your photography resource in the podosphere. PhotoCastNetwork.com.